This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Only sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Well, it's a pretty scary season, this election, and welcome to Free Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist, and I'm the other co-president of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And this is Halloween weekend of the year 2010.
Free Thought Radio is broadcasting in Madison, Wisconsin, airing also in Atlanta, Anchorage, Grand Rapids, Monterey, such an interesting mix of cities, podcasting everywhere.
And Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF, an organization, a national group of atheists and agnostics and other types of free thinkers working to keep state and church separate and to educate the public about the views of us non-religious free thinkers.
We have two guests this week. Our lead staff attorney, Rebecca Markert, is joining us in this segment to talk about a huge controversy her letter of complaint over school prayer has stirred up in Tennessee.
And in the second half of Free Thought Radio, we'll be joined by this year's FFRF Thomas Jefferson Youth Activist Awardee. His name is Eric Workman. He was the high school student who halted illegal commencement prayers during his graduation at an Indiana high school last spring.
Before we bring Rebecca on the show, first we do have to air a pretty scary clip. This is Christine O'Donnell talking to the Christian Broadcasting Network about the role of prayer in her candidacy.
God is the reason that I'm running. If I didn't believe that there were a cause greater than myself worth fighting for, if I didn't believe that it takes a complete dying of self to make things right in this election cycle, I would not be running. And when you die to yourself, you rely on a power greater than yourself. So prayer is what's gotten us all through. The day that we saw a spike in the polls was a day that some people had a prayer meeting for me that morning for this campaign. So I believe that prayer plays a direct role in this campaign, and I always ask people, please pray for the campaign. Please pray for our staff. Please pray specifically that the eyes of the voters be opened.
So, Dan, I never had heard this language, die to yourself, until I met you. I was raised as an atheist, and you were used to be a fundamentalist preacher, and of course you weren't when I met you, but you used this language and you preached this. What does that mean?
Well, there's verses in the New Testament where Jesus and others say that you must die to yourself. You must be dead before you can be born again, like a seed that dies. And so Jesus died for us, and so if we die to ourselves, then he lives within us. In other words, it's kind of like what a slave says to a master, I am nothing, and I am dead, but you are everything, and I give it all to you. There's this whole idea.
Well, it sounds scary to me.
Well, it sounds like she's saying it because her campaign is dying, I think, is what's happening.
So, well, enough of that. We do want to welcome back to Free Thought Radio our lead staff attorney, Rebecca Markert, to talk about the prayer complaint she's handling that has stirred up the whole state of Tennessee.
So welcome back to Free Thought Radio, Rebecca.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So tell us about this complaint. We're back in Tennessee again in the news. We were some years ago. But tell us about this complaint that you received from a student in the Soddy Daisy, that's a hyphenated word, Soddy Daisy School District. And where is Soddy Daisy?
It's actually the Hamilton County School District in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and it's Soddy Daisy High School. What happened here is we received a complaint from a student over the summer asking, you know, the student had been to the graduation ceremony in June and asked if prayer at graduation was legal. And I replied and said no. And we were finding out more details. And then this fall, the student contacted us again saying that they're praying at the football games. Is that legal? And so I said no. And I started working with one of our legal staff, Stephanie Schmidt, to draft a letter to Hamilton County Schools, letting them know that this is an illegal practice, both at the football games and at graduation ceremonies, and that they should stop the practice.
And so you drafted a letter, and you and Stephanie worked on it, and it was sent, what, in September?
It was sent, actually, on October 12th.
Oh, October, okay. And what's happened since then?
The state of Tennessee has erupted.
Yeah.
We actually received word, once this went out into the press that this was happening, we received word that the superintendent, Dr. Scales, had sent an email to all of the district principals letting them know the current state of the law and that these prayerful practices were illegal and they needed to be stopped immediately. That was on October 19th, so about a week.
Before that week-long thing, there were some interviews with members of the school board, and there was one that sticks in my mind. Do you want to recap what he told, he said what people didn't want to pray should be doing?
Sure. It was actually Rhonda Thurman. She's a school board member from District 1. And when she heard about our letter of complaint, she was very upset that we were complaining about this. And she actually said if anybody didn't want to hear the prayers at these football games, they could simply put their fingers in their ears and not listen to it. She continued in this press interview saying that everybody's offended by something, and she was actually offended by girls wearing thongs, but she couldn't do anything about it.
Well, is there a separation of thongs in state in the Constitution?
No.
I imagine the dress code takes care of that. Now, so before we go, we have a whole lot of TV coverage. I mean, this is front page coverage in Tennessee right now still, and this is all over the airwaves. But what did you say in your letter? Can you explain briefly what is wrong with prayer at a football game or graduation or student-led prayer?
Well, what was happening in Sade Daisy was they were giving a prayer prior to the game over the loudspeaker. So everyone in attendance, and a football game is considered a school-sponsored activity, was compelled to hear a prayer. And because it was over the loudspeaker prior to the game and a school-sponsored activity, that shows that Hamilton County School District prefers and endorses religion. In these cases, they're all Christian prayers, so it would
be specific. It's proselytizing, too, really.
Exactly.
So, well, before we run out of time, why don't we have the first TV coverage mic'd up. I can't remember what station this is.
Hamilton County schools are putting new restrictions on prayer in the classroom and during school events.
This comes after a student at Sade Daisy High School said they were offended and intimidated by prayer before football games. New Channel 9's John Pless is digging deeper into the complaints and has reaction from the superintendent and student. John.
Latricia, Calvin, the student and their parents who feel prayer is intimidating and violates the law contacted a national organization. So this afternoon, those concerns have prompted Hamilton County Schools to place restrictions on where and how students pray.
It is one student's complaint that is ending a tradition before Sade Daisy football games, and that is prayer among players, coaches, and the entire crowd listening to the stadium speakers.
I think before like a football game, everybody should get together for a prayer for God to look over everyone, make sure nobody gets hurt, nothing goes wrong.
The student contacted the Freedom From Religion Foundation, asking them to clarify whether prayer is legal at public school events.
The fact of the matter is that prayer is not allowed at public school functions, including graduations and football games. It can't be done over a loudspeaker. It can't be a scheduled part of the graduation ceremony.
Rebecca Merker, attorney for Freedom From Religion, sent a letter to Superintendent Dr. Jim Scales, citing numerous cases where the United States Supreme Court has ruled public prayer at school functions violates the Constitution. She is asking Dr. Scales to, quote, commence an immediate investigation into the complaints alleged and take immediate action to to stop any and all prayers occurring before any Saudi Daisy athletic events and graduation ceremonies.
Once someone presses the issue, then we know how the courts are ruled on these things, so it's probably incumbent upon us at this point to act in a responsible manner.
So on advice of school district attorneys, Dr. Scales is now ordering all schools to stop any public prayer involving school employees or prayer that is broadcast to people by loudspeakers. Clearly, the majority of students and athletes at Saudi Daisy High disagree with that order. They support Christian prayer at school events.
Everybody that I know is all for it. You know, they see that good things come from prayer, and you know, it's what, you know, we do around here.
So as it stands right now, no prayer is allowed in Hamilton County schools or school events that is broadcast over speakers, or prayer that can be heard outside the group that is praying. And school employees, like teachers and coaches, cannot participate in group prayer during school hours or events. Again, individual silent prayer is okay. Now, school board attorneys are reviewing the law, and they may suggest even more restrictions or changes to these rules.
That was News Channel 9 in Chattanooga, and congratulations, Rebecca, for stirring up this issue. Here's a little more coverage from Channel 12, including interviews with two very longtime Freedom From Religion Foundation members.
Challenge to public prayer at Saudi Daisy High School football games leads to the end of the tradition. Superintendent Jim Scales gave the order. There can be no more prayer over the loudspeaker at athletic events or graduation ceremonies in the district. It doesn't sit well with some people. More now in our top line story. The next time the Saudi Daisy Trojans hit the field at home, there will be no prayer over the PA system.
People shouldn't be doing it, so stop doing it.
The Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation challenged the tradition after it says students brought the practice to its attention. The group calls it a breach of the First Amendment.
There have been many Supreme Court decisions that have established firmly that these are blatant violations.
It really sickens me.
But even with prayer over the loudspeaker silenced, students like Caitlin Melton expect even more outspoken communication with God.
I think at a next football game, if they ban prayer, I think there will be a loud uproar of kids trying and praying in front of people, and that will definitely grab someone's attention.
The issue has captured a lot of attention since coming to light. Caitlin's pastor, Jeff McKnight, even got a call from Fox News. He takes issue with an out-of-town group complaining about a local practice.
If we do believe in this community that God is part of our schools, part of our lives, we take that prayer to a public event. We're not trying to put other people's beliefs down, but it does feel that they're trying to put our beliefs down and keep our mouths shut.
A couple of local school board members were open about their beliefs on praying at games.
We've got children playing sports, and certainly the concern is for the safety of the young people. And I think as long, again, as we're not trying to convert people to any particular belief, but just want our kids to be safe, I don't have any problem with it.
And the First Amendment's only valid if it's freedom of speech for everyone. And there are people that consider praying at public events part of that. I happen to be one of those. I hear offensive language every day, and because people live in America, I have to listen to that.
And a student-led rally is planned at Saudi Daisy Veterans Park next Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m.
So this is a continuing saga, and we are going to continue with this saga in the next segment. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. We're speaking with FFRF's lead staff attorney, Rebecca Markert, about a lot of rogue public school officials in Tennessee who make prayer part of the football experience.
Hi, my name is Charlie Williams from Chicago, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're continuing our talk with FFRF staff attorney Rebecca Markert about that huge controversy this month that her letter of complaint has stirred up in Saudi Daisy School District in Tennessee.
So for someone who's just tuning in, can you, in a couple sentences, say what's happened so far?
Sure. What happened is we received a complaint from a student at Saudi Daisy High School alerting us to the fact that they were praying at football games over the loudspeaker and at graduation ceremonies. So we sent a letter to the school district, and within a week, the superintendent of schools sent out an email order to all of the district principals saying that they had to stop prayer at these football games and graduation ceremonies.
So again, congratulations, although we're still waiting to hear on the commencement part of your complaint.
We are. They are continuing their investigation into that to see if it was scheduled by the school or if it was a spontaneous prayer that happened last year.
But so the plot thickens because even after the superintendent had said no more football prayers for Soddy Daisy, which is in Hamilton County, north of Chattanooga, they had an away game in Ray County. And Dan, you and I know Ray County, which is Dayton, Tennessee, very well because we had a lawsuit there.
Earlier this decade, we sued over Bible classes in the fifth grade classrooms, and we won.
And they were totally proselytizing. It had been going on for 75 years. And we won at the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in 2004. But that people in Ray County fought us the whole way and wanted to unveil the secret identity of the children involved in the lawsuit.
Really scary,
it was very ugly.
But also we should point out that their county seat is Dayton, Tennessee, which is the home of the Scopes trial. So they have all that history there in that county.
So Soddy Daisy kids go to an away game in Ray County. And briefly, what happened?
Well, they decided to show solidarity with the religious right in Soddy Daisy and decided to have a midfield prayer. What they did was they asked all of the fans and players in attendance to come midfield and pray. They announced it over the loudspeaker that they were going to have a prayer midfield, and then everybody went midfield and a student from Ray County led a prayer.
So we actually have some footage. It was kind of boring. Dan, you cut it down to really short, but let's listen to this.
Players of Ray County High School Fellowship of Christian Athletes would like to invite citizens of the communities of Ray County and Soddy Daisy to come together on the east end of the football field at this time to pray for the safety of the players, coaches, and officials of this game.
Dear God, I just thank you so much for this day, Lord, and everything that you've blessed us with. I thank you that we had the ability to come and glorify your name. Lord, I just pray that you put your hand of protection over them. But more importantly, God, I just pray that they remember that everything they do is for your glory, not their own. To take your name to the highest God and save people, because that's why we're here. In your name I pray. Amen.
Did you hear what she said? To save people, that's why we're here. They're proselytizing.
So, Rebecca, you've written another letter.
Yep. Yesterday, we sent a letter to Ray County Department of Education, letting them know that what they did at Friday night's game was still impermissible. They organized an opportunity for prayer, and even though a student actually gave the prayer and the prayer wasn't over the microphone, it was still organized and coordinated by the school.
And I think we have time then for our last TV coverage, WATE-TV, talking about how this is going on everywhere.
Good evening. Of course, on Friday nights, local high school football teams and fields are packed for all the hard-hitting action. This week, we told you about the controversy over pregame prayer brewing at Soddy Daisy High School near Chattanooga. Well, we wanted to find out what policies, if any, local school districts here have regarding pregame prayer. New 11, 6 News reporter Jill McNeil takes a closer look.
Will you join me in prayer?
It's a tradition right before the national anthem at Loudoun High School football games for a local pastor to say a prayer over the loudspeaker.
Father, we give thanks for everyone who is a part of this game tonight.
Tonight's pastor, Brian Courtney from the First Baptist Church of Philadelphia, says he's sad prayer has been banned over the loudspeaker at Soddy Daisy High School games after a student there said they were offended and contacted the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Wisconsin.
I understand the student would have uncomfortableness. I understand that. But I think also perhaps what about all the people who were comfortable with it?
Several Loudoun fans we spoke with say they hope what happened in Soddy Daisy never happens here.
Well, I think that student ought to go and read the Bible and then check up on it a little bit before he makes this, you know, against the school. I mean, one person, come on. I say put him aside and say the prayer.
When a tragedy hits those schools and there's a shooting or there's a big drug deal that kills a bunch of kids, the first thing they want to say is, you know, pray for our school or pray for our kids. If you never take it out, you never have to ask for it.
In your name we pray. Amen.
In Loudoun County, Jill McNeil, 6 News.
Now, the football game prayer policies differ widely in local school districts. For instance, in Anderson County, some schools observe a moment of silence before a game. Over in Sevier County, there is a prayer before some football games. Over in Blount County tonight, there was a student-led prayer at William Blount High School. And in Knox County, there was no prayer at Hardin Valley Academy, though there was a moment of silence at the Powell game.
So thank you, Rebecca. We're going to keep fighting these violations as they occur. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Coming up in the second half of the show, we'll talk with a high school valedictorian who stopped illegal prayer scheduled for his Indiana high school commencement.
This is Daniel Dennett, author of Breaking the Spell, and you're listening to Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Annie Laurie here with Dan Barker.
And our guest on the phone today is Eric Workman of Greenwood, Indiana. He's the student who successfully sued to halt illegal prayers at his commencement ceremony. He is the 2010 recipient of the Freedom From Religion Foundation's Thomas Jefferson Youth Activist Award. Eric will be pursuing a BS in biochemistry with honors and a minor in mathematics at the University of Indiana in Bloomington. He spent the summer of 2010 in a summer research program for science majors. He plans to pursue a PhD in biochemistry and an MD degree to venture into research science, and he's a seasoned chess player. So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Eric.
Thank you.
I want to ask you, do you have a USCF rating in chess?
No, I do not.
Oh, you don't? You're just an all-around good player, huh?
Yeah, I play a lot with people on campus and things of that sort and some of my friends, so yeah.
So as a fellow chess player myself, I really love it when the bishops get killed. A free-thinking chess player.
So I know that you are a serious scholar, Eric, because we've been trying since June to schedule you for Free Thought Radio and with your summer research program and your really heavy credit load this semester. We finally you were able to squeeze us in. How many credits are you taking?
16.
And I know that there are a lot of heavy labs in there. So we've got you on cell phone. You're in your dorm room, right? And we're going to hope that
right.
Cell phone, that connection will stay good. And so you are the Thomas Jefferson Student Youth Activist Award recipient for this year. And we should explain that we're pre-recording this part of the interview, which airs on the weekend, because we're all going to be at the 33rd Annual National Convention of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and you will probably have already given your talk by the time people are hearing this. So we're looking forward to meeting you. But why don't you give us a sneak preview? What happened when you were at, which high school were you at in Greenwood?
I attended Greenwood Community High School, and I believe Center Grove, which is the other school in the city of Greenwood, had unconstitutional prayer at their graduation, but no one did anything about it, which is common in the Bible Belt, I'm sure. I know the ACLU recently filed a case in Elkhart about a school that was having religion classes with its elementary students during school hours by teachers paid with government funds.
Now that's a big no-no. So how did you find out about the fact that there was going to be something illegal happening at your school?
At my school, well, what happened was the administration of the high school called the senior class to the auditorium and conducted a vote on a ballot as to whether or not, amongst other things, such as our class motto and our class flower, whether or not we wanted to have a quote, non-denominational, unquote, prayer at graduation. And I, of course, voted no. And on the back of my ballot, I wrote, I will contact the ACLU if this vote goes through with a majority yes vote. And, of course, the administration didn't contact me about what I wrote. And I put my name on the front of the ballot as well.
Well, how
and
did the vote...
I went,
I'm assuming the vote turned out to be yes for prayer?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, what happened was I went to my... to the senior class sponsor and asked her, who happens to be the high school social worker, and I asked her whether or not the vote went through with a majority of yes, and she confirmed that that indeed had happened. And so I asked her if there were a number of dissenting votes, and she said yes. And then she asked me why I wanted to know. I said, oh, I'm just curious. And so, of course, I contacted Ken Falk at the ACLU of Indiana, and the case progressed from there.
So I understand that, and that they call themselves the ICLU, I think, don't they?
No, that was earlier on in the organization's existence, but now it's the ACLU of Indiana.
Oh, okay, because Ken Falk's been there forever. Now, I think there's a lot more to this story you're leaving out, because wasn't there a great deal of consternation against you by your student?
Oh, yes, yes. After we had filed the lawsuit on, I think that Monday was the 8th of March, so that Friday the lawsuit had been filed, and I'll tell you, it was all hell broke loose when the media received that. Ken asked me if I wanted it to be released to the AP. I said sure, and I didn't realize how much of a wildfire that would become. It was all over Fox News, of course, and then it was on the ticker, and then local news covered it, and I received calls from many of my classmates asking me why I did this, and just an onslaught of questions. And I was at the high school working on one of my science experiments, and I was like, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe, you know, everything that was happening. And one of my friends was there, and she supported me, but she was in shock too. And so of course Ken called me that night and wanted to see how I was doing and everything. And Ken is a very, very, very upstanding, compassionate individual. He stood with me throughout this entire case, and wasn't just concerned about the case itself, but was concerned about my well-being. And he spoke to me on a weekly basis to see how I was doing. So I want that to be noted. It was quite a shocker after I had filed, or after he had filed in federal court, and everyone found out about it. And the school corporation said that it was a shock that this was done. And Ken and I decided that we would not even talk to the school, but rather file the lawsuit and see what they would do, because being in the Bible Belt and being in such a conservative religious right part of Indiana, although I think that's predominantly most of Indiana, the school corporation would have been less likely to agree to any talks or agree to withdraw the prayer from graduation, the school-sanctioned prayer. And so we felt that filing the lawsuit would be the best course of action, and they would just drop the prayer and that would be it. But no, the school corporation decided to battle it in federal court, even though there were plenty of precedents set by the Supreme Court and other lower courts regarding this issue, and those were in my favor of this side of the issue. And that's just case in point that talking to them before filing would have been futile on my part. because of how they responded to the lawsuit.
So why is it considered shocking news that a student would simply want to obey the law? I mean, isn't that sort of a basic American principle? The school should obey the law. Why is that a shocker?
You got me. Yeah. I mean, people are so far removed from the law with respect to it not applying to them. They want to think that, well, when it's in their favor, then the law applies. But when it's not, when it goes against their, let's say, Judeo-Christian values of, oh, we should force prayer on everyone, then that's when they see things a little bit differently. And I think it was just a shocker that I would take such aggressive actions as they might see it in this case, but my actions of filing the lawsuit were necessary.
Did you get any threats?
Yes, I received some death threats.
Emailed, or how did you receive them?
Via Facebook, and then I guess there were death threats called into the school about the night of my commencement ceremony.
No.
Go ahead.
Before we continue, am I remembering correctly that you were a valedictorian?
Yes.
You're the valedictorian, and then they're sending you death threats. Hmm. And so you
right.
You had a, what was your grade point average?
Like a 4.65 on a weighted scale and a 3.952 on an unweighted scale.
So you're the top scholar of your school, and you are letting the school know in advance that this is against the law. You're filing this lawsuit. And then how did the other students treat you? I mean, are we getting ahead of the game? You filed for this. Did you file for an injunction?
Yes, a preliminary injunction.
And did you get it?
Yes. Judge Barker issued that, and in it, she was very thorough of pointing out the prior cases, and pretty much striking down the school corporation's argument that, for instance, the case was not ripe, no damages had occurred. However, the damages had occurred in the fact that the school corporation issued a vote as to whether or not we wanted to spit on the Constitution, and that in and of itself is unconstitutional. And so the defense of the school was totally bogus. But
when did she issue the decision?
She issued her decision April 30th.
And when was your graduation?
May 28th.
So just in time, that was good.
right. And she issued it in time, stating that if either side wanted to appeal a decision, there was time to do that at the circuit court in Chicago, the appellate court in Chicago.
And did the school, what is going on with your lawsuit? Did the school pursue an appeal, or did they accept this?
No, the injunction was issued. And eventually we reached a settlement outside of court and dismissed the case with prejudice. This was within this month. I believe around the 15th of this month we settled.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Well, good. Congratulations.
thank you, yes. I received a $1 check for nominal damages, which I will frame. And
does it say in God we trust?
Indiana.
Is the dollar say, in God we trust on it?
No, it's a check. It's a check.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, although in God we trust is unconstitutional.
I'm Annie Lorgaylo with Dan Barker, and we are talking with a gutsy student here, Eric Workman, who went out on a limb and defended the First Amendment at his high school. And we'll come back in just a minute, and we'll talk a little bit more personally about your story, Eric, why you cared about this and why you took it. And we'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Candace Lang from Atlanta, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we're talking with Eric Workman, the high school student who successfully sued to halt illegal prayers at his commencement ceremony.
So, Eric, there you were, the valedictorian. It was your last semester, and they had a class vote to have prayer, which you knew was illegal. And I know that was fundamentally the reason why you pursued it. But it takes a lot of guts. It takes somebody very motivated who really cares to pursue a lawsuit, to even, you know, tell your principal, as you did on the ballot, that you would contact the ACLU if this resulted in a vote for commencement prayers. What is your personal views on religion, and why do you care so much about the First Amendment?
Well, actually, when I filed the lawsuit, I was a Christian, and now I am an atheist.
Really?
And, yes. It's all thanks to Reba Boyd Wooden and the Center for Inquiry of Indiana. Attending, they had a reception for me, and just speaking to the people really sparked my interest in thinking of, and during this whole process, I was questioning religion, and I started thinking, and through a lot of deep thinking, I came to the ultimate conclusion that there is no God, and I was pretty much brainwashed from birth into believing in that I had imaginary friends. So
as a Christian, you cared about state church separation then?
Oh, yes. I am a firm believer in the Bill of Rights and its importance. And when we allow the government to transgress our most fundamental rights, then we, and it keeps doing that, we don't get those rights back. And somewhere, someone has to step up to the plate and say, the buck stops here. And I felt that that was my obligation. I couldn't stand by and allow someone, especially the government, to disregard the laws upon which it was founded for any reason. People said to me, well, it's just a prayer. And I said, exactly, it's just a prayer. So why do you care? Why is it so important to you? I care because it's a matter of a government overstepping its own laws. And people just didn't seem to get it. And I couldn't understand that. But then again, these are mostly the religious right.
Well, what religion were you raised with?
I was raised as a Baptist.
Were you a First Baptist or American Baptist or...
Southern Baptist.
Wow. Well, you were an unusual Southern Baptist because the American Baptists have a strong tradition of supporting separation of church and state. And Baptists, of course, were such a minority in the colonial days that many of them were very good on this issue. But the Southern Baptists aren't very good on this issue. So you must have just been very well read.
Right. Well, I wasn't much of a when I moved out of my father's household, I wasn't much of a practicing Southern Baptist, and so I was raised in a conservative household, a Southern Baptist household. I was raised on Fox News and things of that sort, so I felt a little brainwashed, and after time on my own of thinking on my own and researching and filling out the truth, I've come to a realization of what is what. But even in that conservative household, I was taught about the First Amendment and the separation of church and state. However, my father seems to still believe that they should have had prayer, which flies in the face of what he taught me prior. But
was he opposed to your lawsuit? Was he upset?
Oh, yes.
With you?
We're not on speaking terms right now.
No.
Well, see here, that shows how religion divides, doesn't it?
Right, right. Yeah.
But your mother supports you, right?
Mm-hmm. She's religious. She's a Protestant Christian, but she understands the law, and she believes in the separation of church and state, and she understands why the founders created the First Amendment and its importance. They saw what religion did to government, and they didn't want that here, and I don't want it here. And so I'm sure that, well, I know there are plenty of other patriots out there who agree with that, the principle of separation of church and state, about which Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptists.
Well, you're obviously a very smart guy. You're going into science, and so you throw that into the mix of all that heritage and First Amendment thinking. I can borrow a word, I'm sorry, if I could borrow a word, your story can be quite an inspiration to other high schoolers and students who might be wondering what rights they have, with a little bit of study and research, to realize they can help make this a better America by strengthening the First Amendment.
Your story will be available. It's going to be on Wisconsin Eye, which is Wisconsin C-SPAN. We'll be transcribing your speech in Free Thought Today. The audio will be up, so people will be able to hear what you've also will be saying at the convention. We congratulate you and appreciate your support for separation of church and state, Eric.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for being on the show, and we're going out with some scary music here for this Halloween weekend show, and maybe some of you think the upcoming election is kind of scary. So we want to thank Eric Workman, the high school student who successfully sued to stop commencement prayers. We want to thank our producer, the hardworking Brian Turani, who's also our engineer. And you can go to ffrf.org/radio to hear this show, hear the archives, and sign up for the podcast.
At phone 1-800-335-4021 for more information, or go to ffrf.org to join FFRF. You don't have to just get the information. Support our work for separation of church and state, our scholarships, our Out of the Closet campaign. And tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
I'm not a witch. I'm nothing you've heard. I'm you.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday